Hey, this is Steve from Youth Ministry Sherpas. If you're listening to this before March 15th, we want to tell you about our contest. We're giving away a Sherpas prize pack valued at $50. To enter, just go to our website, youthministrysherpas.com, and sign up for our email list. We're not going to spam you. We just want to keep our listeners in the loop about upcoming episodes and other important announcements. When you sign up, you can also download our free resource, 6 Images of the Youth Worker. It's a training tool we use with our volunteers. Don't forget to go to our Facebook page to join the discussion. Thanks for helping us help youth workers to keep going. Now, here's today's episode.
Hi, this is Brian Doyle with the International Sports Federation and Global Serve, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we're back. Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode number 3.
Helping youth workers to keep going. Hey everybody, I'm Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe.
Welcome to episode 3. So, Matthew, have any of your kids ever wandered away? I mean, your own kids.
Yes. Oh, yes. I remember we're on vacation probably about 8 years ago, and we were back in the homeland, Wisconsin, and we decided to do the thing that you have to do when you're there, and that is tour Lambeau Field.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, it was cool. It was in the summer, so off season. So we went and we took a tour, got to run out the tunnel with the crowd noise cheering.
Really?
It's actually a pretty cool experience. It's almost a spiritual experience, honestly. anyway, we did this wonderful tour, and then we're spending time at the Packer Pro Shop. Now we're going to buy some souvenirs, some goodness. And so we're hanging out, and then off we went. We're getting rounding everybody up, and we're heading to the car. My third child, Isaac, is his name. I'll go ahead and call him out. He's a wanderer. He doesn't pay attention to his surroundings. He gets kind of focused, and he had just locked in on something, and we didn't notice it. Walked out of Lambeau Field, down the steps, crossed the parking lot, and are loading up in the van. Load one, load two, load three. Wait a minute, we're one short.
Oh, no.
He's still in the Packer Pro Shop.
Okay. Probably hanging out with Brett Favre, right?
I don't know if he was doing that. That would have been cool. But honestly, because he doesn't really pay attention to his surroundings, we walked all the way back across the parking lot, up the stairs, and into the Packer Pro Shop. He didn't even know we were gone.
Wow.
Never even knew we were gone.
So he got lost at Lambeau Field.
That's not a bad place to get lost.
You must be so proud of
him. It was one of my proudest moments as a parent, actually.
Absolutely. Wow. That's like... Yeah.
If he's going to wander anywhere,
it's the Vatican of the NFL.
He should wander to the frozen tundra.
Absolutely. mine isn't quite as dramatic as that. Mine actually happened in JCPenney's, which is not exactly like the Vatican of shopping.
No, but it's there.
It was my oldest son. He's 25 now, so this is a long time ago, but he was still in a stroller. He was probably a year and a half old, right? And he's strapped in to the stroller, and we're shopping. We're in the big racks of clothes. And, you know, maybe we wandered away for 10 feet away from the stroller. I don't know. We could be guilty of some kind of neglect. But we came back, and he had escaped. He had unsnapped his little seatbelt there in the stroller, and he had wandered away. And so we're looking for him in the Penneys. We're, like, looking under the racks and looking around, you know, in the dressing room and stuff. Finally found him, like, inside one of those racks, surrounded by clothing, playing hide and seek from us.
Obviously. And how was your wife at that moment?
Oh, she was delirious by that point. So, but I was proud of him because to this day, he's really good at hide and seek. So,
well, there you go.
It's a gift.
He learned that early on.
It's definitely a gift. So today we want to talk about things that we cannot change. In youth ministry, there are just certain things that no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, no matter how good you are at this job, there are things that we just can't change.
And there are a lot of those things.
So many that we're actually going to do 2 episodes on this subject, and we're probably going to come back to it later and do 30 more.
I would imagine there will be lots of episodes on this topic, but today we want to talk about this idea of wandering away.
Yeah.
This reality, whether we like it or not, this reality that some people, some students, some leaders, some people in our churches are going to wander away from the church.
They are. And it's something that if we can kind of accept, we'll come back to that in a little bit, but accept in the sense of we aren't always responsible. We can't take the full responsibility and bear the full burden of it. It'll actually help keep us in youth ministry a lot longer.
Yeah, and that is really the point, is that I think that the danger is when a family or a student or a person from our church decides to wander away from the church, that we can try to take responsibility for that. We can say it's because we didn't do a good enough job, or we right. didn't reach out enough, or we weren't kind enough, or whatever it is, and we make it about us.
Yeah, so one of the things that we're trying to do with Youth Ministry Sherpas is just help us all to know that God's got this. This is about trusting in Him. It's not about us. And there's some encouragement that can be found from that.
Right. So we want to help change the mentality. So a couple different scenarios can happen when you talk about wandering away from the church. Getting around it, that when somebody decides to go to another church, it's almost impossible not to take it personally.
Yeah, there's a little bit of jealousy and envy that creeps in there.
Absolutely. And then, of course, again, there's doubt. Doubt creeps in. Like, yeah. Was I somehow responsible? And it becomes even more obvious in those people who leave the church and then email you to tell you that you're the reason they left the church. Has
yeah.
that ever happened to you, Steve?
No, that has happened to me, and that's really disheartening. We have an interesting situation here in Maryland in our local network, because the youth leaders, the youth pastors, are friends with each other. And so we're able to keep tabs on the people who sometimes go from one church to another. If our church is represented in that network, we usually know when someone lands in another church. I have a good friend here, Eric, who's, we actually made a trade a few years ago. We sent a family to them, and they sent a family to us.
Wow, was there any cash consideration?
Actually, yeah, I think we sent $150 and a lifetime supply of Starbucks, because we got the better end of the deal with the situation. But yeah, you know, it was hard because for Eric, it was a family that was in leadership in his church, and it was really difficult for them to go through that and to lose that family. And I don't know what went on there, you know, and I'm sure Eric would know more, but it was discouraging for him, even if it wasn't really his fault or his responsibility.
Yeah, and depending on where you live and the circumstances, like what kind of small community you might have or where the area yeah. is, chances are highly likely that when a family or a student leaves your church to go to another church or another student ministry, chances are you're going to run into that family or that student out and about at the grocery store or at
yeah.
the football game or at some event. And that
is true.
That proves to be challenging.
Oh, one time I saw a social media post from a family that had left our church and went to a church down the street. And it was just singing the praises of the student ministry. Our kids love it here. This is the greatest thing. We're so thankful to be at this church. And I'm reading that thinking, oh, just stick another knife in my back, in my side, in my forehead. Just stab me till I yeah. pass out.
Well,
here,
don't feel so bad. That was my church that oh. came to, right? No, I'm kidding. I'm sure it was not. But yeah, that's difficult. And so, but I think, again, there's an opportunity there for us as leaders. Again, if we're going to not make it about us, which is what we're trying to encourage everyone not to do, is not make it about us, even though sometimes in those deep recesses of our minds, we kind of make it about us, to be the bigger person in those situations.
Yeah, it's not as easy to do as it is to say. You might be in a situation where maybe you're a smaller church and there's a larger church with a more happening, hip youth ministry down the road, and your kids are going there. And, you know, I just want to encourage you that you're faithful to your church And God's going to bless you in that ministry the way that you designed it for exactly the people that are supposed to be there. And not feel like you have to model or duplicate or replace that big church down the road.
Yeah. One of the first people that I worked for, the senior pastor at the church that hired me when I was back, and of course when I was younger, I struggled mightily with this because
sure.
you're just not mature enough to not take it
not
take it personally. And I remember one time he sat down and he said, "Your job is to work with the students that God brings here, not worry about the students who go somewhere else."
That's true.
And it was very freeing. Now, I think there's another side to that coin, and I've felt this over the years, that when someone does leave, maybe they wander away from our church to another church, I do think that's an opportunity to ask myself some honest questions about what I could have done or didn't do or did that may have led to this, because I think that helps me to be a better person, which honestly, I think we should all be doing on a daily basis. And they're just giving me the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. I mean, if we're really doing that well, we would even reach out to that person and ask them, "Hey, I know you've left. Could you tell me why? Is it something that I did? Is it something that the church did?" You may not get an honest answer. I don't know, but well, it's a hard phone call to make, but it's probably worthwhile.
It's probably very worthwhile for them as well. So I think I mean, honestly, I do. I mean, that sounds funny.
Well, if nothing else, it puts them on the spot, which is a great way to get back at them.
There is a little vindictiveness there, but it's also a reality that would be a fine thing for them to answer that question to themselves about, well, why did we leave? To find out, was it that? Because I believe that there are probably valid and legit. And again, I know this sounds like the Christianese thing to say, but when you really back up, we're all part of the kingdom, capital K. So
yeah, that's true.
If they're over at church B instead of at my church, at the end of the day, that's probably okay.
It is, because every church has something unique about its culture or something that they do that different people connect to, just like different kids connect to us. So yeah, it's okay. I mean, there have been families who I know have left our church and gone to your church, right? And there are families who drive past our church to get to your church.
And they're thriving. And it's a good thing.
It is?
It is. Well, maybe not for you, but it is for us.
And then there are the families who, when they leave, you're kind of glad to see them go. I try to send those your way as often as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Every now and again, it's not hard when a family decides to go to another church because you're thinking, oh, finally, this is a win-win. It's working out for both of us here.
Yeah.
We've joked in our youth network here. Again, as Steve mentioned, we've got this group of youth pastors that meet together regularly. We've often joked about like doing youth student trading cards. You know, I'll trade you two student leaders and a socially awkward kid for, a worship leader.
Yeah, student ministry fantasy draft is what we were gonna try.
It's just making light of something that is a reality that, again, we can't change.
Yeah, and it's an easy way to be discouraged in what we're doing.
Right. Now, saying that we can't change it doesn't mean we don't try.
You're right. We try to be the best we can be.
We're trying to effort all the time and trying to be the best we can be, but to again realize that there are some things based on our culture, based on what's going on in other people's lives that we just can't change.
There are some people who wander away from our church and they just wander away from church altogether.
And that's almost a more challenging situation.
That's different. Sometimes you don't even see it coming. We had a family here years ago that they had a couple kids, were really plugged into the youth ministry. Dad was actually serving as a leader in my youth ministry, was there every week. And then I have no idea, really. I didn't do what you suggested, was just call them up. I don't know why they left. They disappeared. Their priorities weren't really here, even though it seemed like it. I honestly haven't seen them since. Just disappeared.
Yeah.
How do you go from being a leader in the youth ministry there to minister to other kids, getting all the training and equipping and the vision of the church, and then just disappear?
Right. That's a question I don't have the answer for. But then another question I have is then, Steve, how do you not take that personally?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you feel like I should have done something differently. I should have been a different person. I should have created a different ministry, whatever.
Could have done more. Could have done different things.
I must have offended them. It must be about me. And that's just not true.
And it's not true. It's absolutely not true. And so that's just a reality. We have to We have to face as youth leaders because, again, the goal here of the Youth Ministry Sherpa pages is to keep youth workers going. And, yeah. and the reality is if you make it about you, you'll be selling insurance in 5 years.
Yeah, I don't
know why I always go to insurance. Maybe it's the only thing.
I think you were meant to sell insurance.
Maybe I was meant to sell insurance, yeah. I'm glad
Prudential
I
is hiring now. So,
yes. Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to stick with my day job, I think.
Yeah. In our culture, people don't give the same commitment to church, obviously, that they did years ago. And so there's going to be people who church shop. There's going to be people who come and go based on their own convenience, their life circumstances. There could be 1,000 factors that went into somebody either changing churches or just not coming to church. Probably very few of those factors actually have anything to do with us.
Yes. They probably almost all have to do with their own, that person's yeah. own spiritual journey and where they are. And again, to rest on the reality that God loves those people and yeah. is pursuing those people more than we ever could.
Yeah, and that changes our heart towards those people too. We're not thinking about owning them in a sense. We're free-handed. Right. We are realizing that God's at work in their lives. We care about them. We want God to bless them and reach them and speak to them and in whatever way he deems appropriate in their life.
Yeah. More close to the heart, though, is when we start looking at specifically students and even other adults in the church who wander away from the faith.
Yeah. I told you earlier before we went online here that I've actually had 2 students in the past 5 years who made an effort to come back to me and have lunch with me, reached out to me to take them, to pay for their lunch.
Yeah, wasn't that nice of them?
Very kind. So that they could tell me they no longer were Christians.
Wow.
Yeah. Hard conversations.
Very difficult stuff. Yeah. And certainly I can think of multiple students who were student leaders in our student ministry, yeah. who were thriving in our student ministry, loving Jesus, who are now wouldn't know Jesus if he bit them in the ankle. I mean, it just,
these are 2 kids. I baptized both of them, not in the sink, but I did baptize both of them. One of them was a student leader, and the other one I did his wedding. And so I sat in those conversations, and I heard their reasons, mostly intellectual, some lifestyle choices. And it just broke my heart. And at the same time, I love them. I love them as friends, as former students. I care about them. I was thinking the whole time, why did you bring me out to tell me this? It's almost as if you are saying to me, your life calling doesn't really matter because it's not true.
Right.
Christianity isn't true. Yeah. I mean, that's how I heard it in my interior mind and heart.
Absolutely.
That was painful.
Which is why we're talking about this in his podcast, because I don't think there is a way. One thing we can't change is that people are going to wander away from church and people are going to wander away from the faith. But we also can't change the fact that when that happens, that on bad days, we're going to take that personal.
Absolutely.
We're going to be brokenhearted. We're going to be hurt personally by that. And to find a way to get beyond feeling personally hurt about it to realizing that, again, multiple factors.
So this is how I've kind of come to terms with it for myself. And it sounds like Christian cliche cop-out, but it really comes back to the parable of the soils. Because Jesus taught exactly this, that there will be some people who hear the good news of Jesus and they just don't accept it, right? Their soil is hard and it bounces off and the seed dies. And we all have those students. And that's frustrating.
They're just in the back.
They're
sneering.
In the crowd and they come and they go and that's fine. But what hurts more are the next 2 kinds of seeds, the ones who sprout up quickly and you feel like it's going to actually take in their life. They're going to become a Christian and maybe they get super excited about it after retreat or something and they go on your missions trip. You think, this kid's got it. They're sold out to Jesus and then
nothing. And in student ministry, this is really easy to see happen because we have this condensed timeline. We've got these students if you're the student pastor over the whole thing, you've got them for 7 years. Some people are just over middle school. You only have them for 3.
Yeah.
And high school only for 4.
3 months can seem like an eternity in youth ministry
and so
for a kid.
You've got these kids that just grab a hold and they're just on fire for Jesus and they're going. And then 3 years into college or into their adult life, nothing is there, and you think, what happened? Well, the soil was was shallow. And it sprouted quickly, but boy, when life got hard, when the sun came out, boy, it just burned up.
Yeah, and you know, Jesus wasn't criticizing youth leaders and their effectiveness when he delivered that parable, right? He was just talking about the reality. He was describing the kingdom and how it works and how people respond to it. And if he's saying it, and it was true for him, how much more is it true for us?
Right, absolutely. And then that third kind of soil is something, again, we see, at least I know in my world, I see it play out in student ministry over and over again, that seed that props up, but then the weeds choke it out, and you just...
Or weed, in some cases, for high school kids.
Specifically, weed. choke that faith out, and it's so frustrating to see students who love Jesus.
Yeah.
They do. They profess their faith in Jesus. They accept. They love. They're in. They're ready to go. But yet, they're also pretty excited about all those things that are happening on Friday night and Saturday night and offline over here and online over there. And it's a competition that they far too often lose. And again, I know for me, when I watch that happen, I think... my part of the equation just isn't good enough because it's losing out to the other side of the equation.
Right.
So I need to have a better student ministry. I need to be a better youth worker. I need to have better messages and better discipleship groups. And then the weeds won't get to them.
And that doesn't take into account all the factors that are affecting them. You might have all kinds of issues going on at home. It might no longer be a priority in their family, or maybe their family isn't even Christian. There could be sports and music and academics all competing, and people put their priorities there. And so a kid might come around for a while, get really excited, really plugged in, and then the next thing you know, they've just been choked out by everything else in life.
Everything else, absolutely.
It's disheartening.
It's very complex.
It is.
And I think when we make it, we want to make it easy. Because it's easier to deal with easy things than complex things.
Choose Jesus, make that your priority, and everything else will fall into place.
And the easy thing is to say, when you don't do that, it's because of something I did or didn't do.
Right.
And that's the easy answer, because then I can deal with that. I have control over me, so I can do that. I don't have control over their football coach. I don't have control over their friend who sells weed out of his trunk. I don't have control over his family. I don't have control over all these other factors that are playing into him wandering away or stepping away from his faith. But I want to make it about me. And we just can't do it. Because again, I think if we make it about us, we're never going to make it. Never make it for the long haul.
I don't know if other youth leaders struggle with this the way that I do, but I've always kind of had the approach to my youth ministry of just wanting everyone to be equally plugged in. I want everybody to be involved at this level, and maybe some will be even more involved, right? But I want everybody to be involved at least at this level, and I'm always just thinking about the kid who isn't here, the kid who's left, or the kid who used to come and doesn't come anymore, to the point where it just can become a constant source of discouragement. And I think understanding the spiritual reality and the cultural reality that kids are going to wander away and families are going to wander away just kind of eases the pressure on us, eases the feeling like we have to fix it, and also enables us to think about people as individuals and families as individuals and their circumstances and have more grace maybe for what they're going through.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, if a family is having health issues with one of the parents, or maybe they're having marriage issues and now the kids are in a joint custody kind of situation, like all those things affect their ability to be involved in the youth ministry.
And to be involved in their faith.
Yeah,
to be deeply involved in their faith, yeah. I wish I could tell you that after 27 years that I figured this out and I'm good, but I can think of a time less than a month ago that I was standing at the door being kind of the welcoming crew, welcoming kids as they came in, and rather than thinking about the kids who I just welcomed to walk in the door that were showing up to, you know, be involved and to chase their faith a little bit, I sat there thinking about the kids who did not walk through the door. And why didn't they walk through the door? Did I say something last week? Or why didn't they come this year? And I was so discouraged. That was a month ago. So this is a difficult thing that we have to do. And again, it's a sharp two-edged sword because you...
Well, part of the reason you were feeling that way is because you have the heart of a youth pastor. And you want those kids to be there. I mean, that's why we're called to this. That's why we do this.
Right.
It's what makes us good at what we do. And so what I think we're encouraging us all to be able to think about is just the spiritual reality that we don't control all of it. And to somehow build a layer of Teflon over our personal emotions and our personal guilt even.
Right.
To the point where we are not beat up and beat down by kids who just don't come around.
Right. And again, at the heart of it, is, even though it sounds like a Christian cliche, to trust the process, trust God,
right.
that He is as concerned about these students who have wandered from their faith as we are, and that it's a part of a bigger picture that we play a role in, but we don't play the role in. I think of that passage in 1 Corinthians where he says, you know, Apollos planted the seeds and whoever watered them.
Paul
watered them. But it was God that made him grow.
Right.
Right. And sometimes I think I want to say that, no, I made him grow.
Yeah.
And I didn't make him grow.
Yeah.
I might have planted the seeds. I might have watered them. I'm part of that student's process, that student's journey.
Do you ever think what Jesus felt when people wandered away? I mean, when he looked at the rich young ruler, it says that he was grieved as he walked away, right? And I think about, we kind of have Judas in this separate category, but at some level, Jesus and Judas were friends.
He was in the club. He was part of the deal. He wandered away.
And not only wandered away, but then stabbed him in the back. You know, for Jesus emotionally, as a human being, what did that feel like? I can't imagine. And our feelings, you know, maybe don't go to that depth because we're not Jesus.
But we do have feelings.
We do have feelings. And this is a place where our feelings can really take a hit.
Right. So, but we've got to just focus on the fact that there are some things in ministry
that we cannot change.
And one of those is that people are going to wander away.
Yeah. So as you think about this, as you think about the scriptures and take your comfort from the fact that even Jesus had people wander away from him, it will definitely help us to be able to stay in this for a long time.
We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you've developed some patterns, some ways to change your mindset when you get in those moments. We'd love for you to share that with the greater community here of Youth Ministry Sherpas on our Facebook page. Get on there and tell us, how do you deal with it so that you don't make it about you, but yet you're still engaged in the process? We'd love to know, because again, as I admitted here just minutes ago, I have not yet figured this out.
One of the things that we've discovered is that when we're experiencing this kind of discouragement, it really helps just to talk to other youth leaders about it. We've mentioned our network, and we've had times where we've been out together and just started to talk and tell stories, and we kind of laugh about the families who, you know, go from one church to the other, because we all know them, right? But it just is cathartic for our souls to be able to talk to other youth leaders about the same things and what they're experiencing.
So we'd love to talk with you guys about it via our Facebook page. And maybe you've figured some things out, or maybe you just want to talk about a situation that's been discouraging you so somebody else can speak some truth into your life and speak some encouragement into your life on that Facebook page. We'd love to just hear the stories and hear how you've figured out how to deal with this reality of things we can't change, is that people are going to wander away, and how do we keep going as youth workers in that reality?
I just thought of this. Have you ever considered what your youth ministry would be like if everybody who ever walked in the door stayed? Isn't that a crazy thought?
It would be too big. I don't think I can manage it.
Just think about all the unique people and Christian, non-Christian, interesting characters that have walked through the doors, what that would look like.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's funny to think about, but that's impossible.
Right.
That's never happened in the
reality.
History of humanity, right?
It's not reality.
People come and people go. It's just the way it is.
Yep.
Even Jesus couldn't change it.
So hopefully this conversation was helpful. Hopefully it was cathartic to your soul, as Steve just mentioned. As we all are living with this reality of this is just one thing that we can't change.
Yeah. So check out our show notes on youthministrysherpas.com. You can download them there. I put in a list of everybody who has left our church over the years, and you can check that list and see if maybe they ended up at your church.
That's awesome.
Yeah, isn't that great?
That's a perfect thing, yeah. And we look forward to the conversation on Facebook, and we look forward to our next episode where we continue to unpack things in student ministry that we just can't change.
We're going to talk about priorities, people's priorities, and how that affects our youth ministries. I think it'll be a good discussion, encouragement for all of us.
You mean everyone that comes to your youth group isn't their number one priority?
Well, yeah, my youth group. I was talking about your youth group.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right, we'll talk about mine next time.
Yeah, okay. Hey, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time.